And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Eli, as talking with him. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So, the time has come at last. When in the dark form of light that you previously constituted an image of yourself in a relationship of organization, of factorings of light in space-time location is being, say to me, transfigurated. We opened this new series of the correspondence of my Savior and the Savior of this world and your Savior, if you'll let him be, between the New Testament, testifying to what appears to you to be 2,000 years ago of the certainty that our Savior Jesus appeared in a human form, representing an evolved capacity through the power of his mind, which he continually now offers to you to transform the space-time that you're in. The description of the transfiguration is one of the inevitable admissions and recognition of the possibility of physical transformation. Listen carefully to me. This series, and I'm representing to you now my certainty based on my own transfiguration of body. And we're going to spend just 7 minutes here before I really get into the idea of your newfound capacity based on, what do you Christians call it, the second coming? The idea that somehow who I am representing to you in this time and place, based on this so-called 2,000-year-old Testament, is nothing but the immediacy of a contemporary capacity to undergo an experience of enlightenment in which the transformation from an earthly being, one who was contained in the carbon and hydrogen and oxygen, the idea that there's a nitrogen cloud that surrounds you, fundamentally the idea that you're a body. Here's the problem we've had with the scripture of Jesus. The scripture of Jesus has no real value as an historic reference of possibility based on old ideas about yourself. Listen, the reason that is true is the entire necessity for your saviorship is based on your first admission of Him as your Savior, that is the possibility of it, and second, as He directs you, the actual experience itself. Shall we practice a little Christian vernacular? Say to me, I need to be born again. Huh? Now, the offering that I'm presenting to you in the contemporary scripture of our Course in Miracles is my certainty that the direction that He has given us through the experience that occurred to me in the devastating moment of my new location in time allows me to teach to you the instant availability of the transfiguration of your body. What do you call that? A miracle? Practice? I want to experience a miracle of my mind. Look with me. Where I could share with you the light and love expressed by our Savior, whose direction, initially as a say to me disciple, say, I want to really talk to this community now, those who pertain to the efforts of the admonition of Jesus, of what? Your inborn capacity to heal the sick and raise the dead, without which his message would be totally meaningless. My certainty that He appeared at that time and is appearing with us now at this time to offer us an agency of light that will bring about a new recognition of the relationships we have with each other, beginning with self-realization based on His message and subsequent resurrection, and on the performance of the act of healing that's possible for us to do. Here's a performance. I'm a healer. They call me the advanced teacher. I'm not certain what that means. A master teacher is one who could not have somehow mastered the idea of the necessity for his self-recognition through the direction of Jesus with the capacity to change his mind about himself and bring about what just occurred right there. Now, let's look at it this way. We're going to increase the intensity of the light, all right, and understand that our minds have begun to communicate utilizing a factor of electromagnetic energy, which in the religious vernacular becomes the Holy Spirit. All right. Remember with me that the Holy Spirit is indifferent to the concepts of your relationship with yourself and is offering you only an instant conversion, okay, in the idea that you occupied this body. Behold, I show you a mystery. In a moment, in a flash, you will be made new in that body sense. practice. I am not a body. Good. The mind training of A Course in Miracles from Jesus is directing you only on a continuing basis to present to yourself and then to the world the idea that his message, the message of Jesus in the New Testament, is now being carried about by you as he instructed you so implicitly to do in your short sojourn, your short appearance here on earth. What does he share with us? The time will come indeed when you will hear this. Look with me. All of the evidence for the inevitable possibility of you at this moment to experience a direct communication with your Father is available to you here and now. One thing I promise you, you listen to me. When that devastating experience happens, and for you, many of you, in the next 14 minutes, it's going to. And a voice from heaven says to you, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I positively guarantee you that your uncertainty about this scripture will disappear. I am offering you from the auspices of my own revelation my certainty of a direct correspondence to universal mind through the saviorship of Jesus Christ. What's it based on? A miracle. The miracle of the transformation of your mind that will change your body association is available to you. We have a book that's entitled, if I can find it here, All About God and How to Find Him, but the book, here, the two books, let me show you what I'm going to use here. We're with Course in Miracles International, the direct teachings of Jesus. Here are the books I'm going to be using. All About God and How to Find Him. It's an extraordinary idea that God is in everything. You agree with me? This booklet, Miracle Healer's Handbook, contains through practice all of the evidence that you will ever need in the idea of the currency, the immediacy, the availability, the action of your mind in resurrection. I brought along here any other evidence that you want. Here's one called The Complete Jesus. You listening to me? You can have an idea that everything that Jesus ever said or will say or anyone thought that he said can be gathered in this book, The Complete Jesus. What do I do? Worship the book? What good is it going to do me to take the evidence of what he said and have it contained within a scripture of the retention of my conceptual separation as a, what do you call me, a Sadducee? Oh yeah, we have the law, and have it pertain not only to the directions we've given ourselves in order to maintain the idea of annihilation, but a direction that allows us to continue to operate on a fundamental premise of the possibility of saviorship and continue to deny it by locking it into this book or locking it into this book. If I'm going to teach you the living message of Jesus, I can sit here and pound this scripture for the next 1,000 years. What are you going to get out of it if you can't take the admonition of Jesus of your own necessity to undergo the experience? Is it going to do it? I have hundreds. They call me the old man. I've been around here for 1,960 years. I made an appearance in Acts with Peter and the apostles in their escape from prison. We utilized a technique that has been available to man for more than 4,500 years, but it's rarely used. It's called teleportation. Acts describes, Luke, who wrote Acts, describes it. The disciples were all in the presence, whoosh, they were gone, and they were in another location. Of course, everybody goes, yeah, I know. What am I offering you? My certainty that in the adventure of the conversion of quantum identification, it's entirely possible at this moment for you to have a miracle experience that includes not only a transfiguration, but a teleportation to another location in time. How else do you think my Savior Jesus resurrected? Do you think that somehow his spirit ascended up to heaven and his carcass is laying down rotting in the grave? No. When they come to the grave, his body's not there. Is his body subsequently seen, appearing, what does Paul say in Corinthians, to at least 500 people? He suddenly appears in the body. Listen with me in the mind training of the Course. I'm saying to you, if you'll accept it from me, that I can represent a continuing converting agency of body form that will instantly transform you as a body association into a magnification of light that will immediately reveal to you a direct correspondence with God through this message. And he was transfigurated. I want to share with you on a very personal level my certainty of the availability of the Saviorship of Jesus of Nazareth. Not some other Jesus, not some other avatar. I love them all. Anyone who would be willing to give me a direction that brought about the experience that I had in my moment of devastation, in my moment of certainty that this problem of pain and death could not be solved except by the experience, by being born again within this relationship and the immediacy of its availability. Practice. All power is given unto me on earth and in heaven. Practice. If I bind myself in relationship in space-time, I will bind heaven. Because as a living Son of God, I had a moment in my mind when I thought I was separated. Our Savior calls this sin. Practice. I'm in sin. Conceptual mind, the problem you have with sin in the guilt that you feel by not being able to locate the truth of what you are is the fundamental idea that organized within separation can be procedures of judgment that continue to offer you solutions based on separation. On many of the videos that I have done in this last continuum, I have reminded you that in Aramaic, the word sin means off the mark from Jesus. It's an archery term that says when we look at each other, we just miss. The adjustment through transfiguration of the light allows us to see a continuing performance of an idea of communication based on a new light that is all around us. We'll be reading together now some of the New Testament scripture, I promised Jesus. And I, most of you know that I talk to him on almost a continuing basis. Certainly there's nothing new about the idea that a lot of you are talking to him. As a matter of fact, his availability is beyond question. The problem you have is always the uncompromising nature of the message that he instructs you concerning not only your capacity to perform acts of miracles through forgiving your enemy, but the inevitability that you did and will locate yourself in a new place of assignment where the entire purpose for you occupying this body will be to offer to the world a new contingency of communication that is simultaneous with the idea of sin or separation. A Course in Miracles, A Course in Healing from Jesus, A Course in the Transformation of Your Mind. Here are three miracle principles that we are performing at this place and time. Look. Miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or bodily level of experience or the higher or spiritual level of experience. Listen, one makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual. This from Jesus, listen. I inspire all miracles, which are really intercessions. They intercede for your holiness and make your perception holy. By placing you beyond the physical laws, they raise you into the sphere of celestial order. In this order, you are perfect. I'm about to perform an act. This is from Jesus. I get excited at the prospect that you're experiencing to raise you into a celestial order. Now, is it heaven? It's as close to heaven as you need to get, because the ordering of your individual mind will reassociate other apparent separate minds from you in body form to the simple realization that all orders occur through the will and the light of our creating source, not as we have misdirected ourselves in determination to set terms for how we want to order our procedure in this dark idea of separation. Celestial order just occurred. Transfiguration just occurred. Suddenly you're going to be walking along the street. You listen to me, this is a new continuum of time. We're getting reports since we began to broadcast from the satellite. The experience of celestial order, the availability through the resurrection of Jesus for you to assume a role of healing the sick and raising the dead has become an important part of how you will view yourself from this moment on. Look with me. It's impossible, if you're watching this video at this time, that it will not and did not alter your associations about yourself in time location. How important it becomes now through the practice of His Course in Miracles to realize that all time, everything that you're viewing here, is part of an old association you had in time that you are projecting into the future in order to remain in the sequencing idea of your concepts. Listen. That are denying you access to the immediacy of the converting agency of the miracle. Listen to this. A miracle is a correction introduced into false thinking by me. This is Jesus. It acts as a catalyst, breaking up erroneous perception and reorganizing it properly. This places you under the atonement principle where perception is healed. Until this has occurred, knowledge of the divine order is impossible. In the next 30 minutes, with your tolerance and patience with my enthusiasm and being allowed to teach the New Testament, perhaps I'll read to you a little bit about the Pharisee leader Nicodemus when he questions Jesus concerning what I'm attempting to teach you. Now, you may act as Nicodemus if you choose to me, and I'll be happy to represent to you what in the scripture Jesus says in response to his query, Master, we know you're a master teacher. Jesus, of course, his religious background was Pharisaical. And I'll talk about it in the next 30 minutes. Contained within the priesthood of the Hebrew religion within the temple were Sadducee, those who acted through the Sanhedrin who set the law. The scribes who took it down were Pharisees. Do you know what the translation from Aramaic for Pharisee is? Deviate. So the deviates finally are going to be allowed to organize synagogues where discussions concerning the fundamental by Jesus can be aired in the idea of the possibility that the entire establishment can be changed. By who? Say me. So Jesus is going to say to Nicodemus, this world will change through you by your recognition of me. This world will change through you by your recognition of your brother who shares with you the saviorship of this world. In this moment of transfiguration where you become as our Savior instructed you, the light of the world. Say it to me. I am the light of the world. And watch what begins to happen. I'll be back, light of the world, and we'll continue with the idea of the possibility of instantaneous communication. You remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the light of the world along with us. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone. You're still here. There were two possibilities based on the scripture that you could have performed in that very 20-second or 30-second interval. And these are done for the satellite, for television, are being broadcast around the world. There was an interlude, say, of 3 or 4 minutes. Are you going to listen to me? When virtually anything could have occurred. Should I tell you why? In the miracle appearance of the mind of the light of our Savior Jesus into body form, wherein he underwent the experience of transfiguration and resurrection, is a total indication of the immediacy of the availability of it. How valuable is the idea of prophecy? How much value is there in the idea that the time is going to come when the Savior will appear to us here and offer us solutions to the condition which for many of us has at this time become virtually impossible, intolerable. I returned from a sojourn out of time, and many of you have can share this with me as evidence of the new continuum of time where teachers of God through this Course in Miracles and the Scripture of Jesus are literally departing time. They come through illumination back into the certainty they can offer the light. This is the entire scripture that I'm presenting to you at this time. My certainty, represented by my body formulation of the availability of a miracle that will instantly convert your body identity in a performance that includes all of the continuity of space and time that previously demonstrated your dream of death. It's a course in miracles from the Savior, my Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Three more miracle principles, and then we'll do a little scripture reading from the New Testament. Listen. Miracles honor you because you're lovable. They dispel illusions about yourself and perceive the light in you. They thus atone for your errors by freeing you from your nightmares, by releasing your mind from the imprisonment of your illusions. They restore you to sanity. When you're trapped in what we would call Newtonian physics, the idea of objectivity based on the possibility of the separation of cause and effect, you require an instant through a converting agency. In science, it's called the tachyon field of electromagnetic light energy that will show you first the illusionary nature of your entrapment in time. This will be beautifully described by Jesus in the New Testament. Shall I remind you that when he appears here, he immediately begins to instruct the establishment about its own unreality. He doesn't condemn it. What he says is, take all of your evidence of civilization, your moral codes, your idea of establishment, your need for peace, your need for commerce, and let it be included in with the fundamental idea that God, who heretofore to you has been objectionable, Jehovah, a punishing God who is going to view your evil and bring about devastating moments within your established continuum of time, are entirely contrary to the arrival of Jesus, who immediately says to you, I'm not concerned about the historic reference of your father who represented pain and death in your body form. I am appearing as a spiritual transformation of my body that will demonstrate to you perfectly that in our relationships with each other is salvation and the peace of God, not objectively outside of this. Say to me, Sermon on the Mount. Say it. Say it to me, Sermon on the Mount. What you see out there is a reflection of what's within your heart and mind. This from my Savior, the possibility that you can ascend to heaven without forgiving the projections of your own mind is in a literal sense impossible. What does he say to you? Okay, forgive your enemy. Love those who despise and hate you. Carry a message of truth with you in this certainty that through his love, and most particularly the converting agency of what we call the Holy Spirit, available to you in this time and place, is a miracle that will transform your body form and heal you instantly. Two more miracle principles and then we'll get into Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the mechanism of miracles. He recognizes both God's creations and your illusions. He separates the true from the false by his ability to perceive totally rather than selectively. The miracle is a learning device that lessens the need for time. It establishes an out-of-pattern time interval, not under the usual laws of time. In this sense, it's timeless. Look with me. The availability to you as a viewer of me on what you think is this video within space-time cannot not be a direction that you have chosen somewhere in time through the Scripture of Jesus to be available to the idea of resurrection that's going to occur right now. Okay? Where? Right here. Okay? What occurred at that moment? Okay. Rather than sequencing time in your mind, rather than believing that this body from your past associations is going to be projected into the future with an idea about yourself, you are allowed, through a direct communication of our minds coming from outside of this parameter of time, to recognize, say to me, a shortening of time. We love the relative idea that time travels. What are the statistics in a vacuum? 186,000 miles every second. With the further determination, okay, scientifically, that the closer we get to the speed of light, the less time that passes. Look at me. I can activate within this time association a vehicle of transformation based on resurrection that will shorten your need to operate within the slow time association. In a literal sense, I am appearing here now as a body available to you in a transfiguration of your mind. Okay, it's a new sequence of time based on the idea that you came here, are going to be here, and then be annihilated. If Jesus has indeed resurrected, he has demonstrated to you the impossibility of annihilation. Say to me, there's no such thing as death. Christians, I'm about to confront some of you. The idea that Jesus died for our sins would be possible, but the idea that he is not now resurrected and offers you the certainty that there is no death is the dilemma from which you continue to suffer in the idea that you can die. I see your establishment still has him up on the cross. So your symbol of the resurrecting mind and body of Jesus standing next to you now is holding up a cross. It's almost the same as taking this Holy Bible with the Old Testament, holding up Jesus on the cross in this hand and the Bible in this hand as a scripture of your inability to accept the fundamental teaching, the requirement for your own transformation. How is Jesus going to respond to Nicodemus? Since I see the state of denial that you're operating in, I'm going to do a little scripture for you. First, I'll thank you for tolerating my Sunday school attitude. I have a very high nature in my belief that whatever you term me as, many as a preacher, perhaps as a spiritual healer, perhaps as simply a carnival show in which I intend to demonstrate to you a magic trick about the capacity for you to alter light association. It won't make any difference, because what we think we are together as separate from God is not what we are. As a teacher, the illumination that I can present to you will be a reasoning process in my mind about the natural idea of evolution or revolution from the idea of the pain and death that previously constituted this continuum into the light that now surrounds us. So with your tolerance, let's share just a little scripture here. This will be from the New Testament, the King James translation. It must be, 400 years old now. There are other variant ideas in which you could take the word that Jesus speaks to you, use it to translate in your own mind ideas of what you want it to represent to you. All I would like to have you do with me through this Course in Miracles is allow him to mean what he says, even though you don't understand it. And that's what he's going to tell Nicodemus. Listen. So this is John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, "Hey, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher and you've come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you're doing except God be with him." So there's a fundamental admission. You've got to remember this. Jesus was contemporary with him at this time, and he was performing incredible miracles. The same as we hope you'll begin to do now as his arrival within this continuum becomes more present to you. Here's the crucial element involved in the teaching. The only response that Jesus can give to him is the necessity for transformation. Listen. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Listen carefully to what he's going to say to you now. His concern is not about the rebirth and continuing rebirth of the natural man, but only the necessity that the natural man, who has been baptized in the idea of hydrogen and carbon and water as a necessity for self-recognition, undergo a spiritual experience of being born again. Listen. Jesus says, "Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Look with me. Until you're a natural man, you can't become a spiritual man, because you wouldn't have to. Hear that? Obviously, the idea that you're a natural man in flesh and blood and organized with a nitrogen cloud around you, contained within this infinite maze of nothingness, yet have a self-consciousness about yourself, would require some sort of spiritual experience. Or if you're adverse to the religious vernacular, a quantum moment. Listen. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What? Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. How do I know how I got it? Huh? The wind's blowing. I can identify where it's coming from, east or west, but the truth of the matter is I don't know where it is. I can be baptized in water in my idea of flesh, but the truth of the matter is I don't know who I am or what I'm doing. The miracle experience is the requirement that I recognize in a miracle moment the entirety of my relationship with my creative source. Literally, a return to heaven in the flesh that will occur. Can you imagine that this has survived for almost 2,000 years and has become part of the particulars that you at last are going to understand? Why will you begin to understand it? You're going to begin to have the experience. My explanation to you as a natural man will seem reasonable in your mind if you let it. Listen. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus says, hey, come on, Pharisee. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Listen, here's about the experience. Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. What's he describing? An experience that he underwent himself. Remember when he goes off into the desert? Most of you have been out in the desert, haven't you? Remember when the devil tempts him, he says, look what I'm going to give you if you do. That's a very lovely parable. And each one of you has actually gone out into the desert in an attempt to subtract yourself from this world and somehow find the solution, perhaps in abstinence, perhaps in trying to maintain a continuing contact with God, perhaps in a monastery, perhaps in an om center where you have an experience of transcendental meditation. You listen to me carefully, human being, what Jesus is going to say to you here and now in regard to the necessity for your transformation in order to understand the totality of your relationship with God. Listen. So we speak that we know and we testify that we have seen, and you receive not our message. Look, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I'm going to try it with you. Ready? You got to be born again. You have to accept the fundamental teachings of my Savior Jesus, that you forgive your enemy so you can enter the kingdom. You're going to have to lay down your defenses and begin to share love in totality. Huh? You don't believe me? That's what the scripture said. If you can't accept the fundamental necessity for the basic teaching, say to me, forgiveness. Yeah. Huh? If you're going to reject the fundamental necessity to love one another, it will be impossible for you to enter the kingdom. This scripture, when he's instructing Nicodemus, says you're not even accepting it in the fundamental nature of your concept. Shall I tell you why? The fundamental nature of your human condition of conceptual identity is to deny this message. That's why you have to be born again. Can you see this with me? He's going to remind you of the power that's inherent in you as both a man, earthly bound, and a spirit man who is undergoing the conversion. Listen to what he says. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Would you like to take a little chance with me on that scripture? Huh? I'm appearing here with you now, all right? It's impossible that you're going to be able to undergo a revelatory experience with me and ascend to heaven, except that contained within you is the acknowledgement that that's where you came from. No man ascends up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Now, stand by. Including the Son of Man who is in heaven. This is the inevitability of the beautiful scripture of my Savior, where he reminds you of the power of your subjective mind. And he says to you, as a man, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, because earth represents a continuum of time that cannot not be in separation, a replication of heaven. The idea that you're separated is a sure indication that you're in hell. Fortunately for you, there's no such thing as hell. Through his resurrection, you cannot be guilty of what you're holding in your mind in regard to the pain and death that you experience within this world. The fear quotient with you now, the contagion of the idea of the enemies that surround you, have brought you to a point in this continuum where you're watching this video. Look, the intensity of your fear in the denial of the message, okay, has to be the fundamental admission that you no longer want to represent yourself as separate from eternal life, but want an experience that we're going to offer to each other now in the certainty that we can leave this continuum. His description in the next paragraph that Moses, the idea of parting the sea, the idea of coming from a place of desolation to Jerusalem, to a place in space-time, not a place in this continuum, but a place in space-time where the ascension of the followers of Jesus can and did occur. Trust me with this. You just had an experience of being born again. Perhaps I could come back and do another hour. When you're teaching transfiguration, listen, the momentum in time of the occurrence will increase directly with your continuing reassociation of yourself in time. The practice of the teachers of God who through Jesus are going out into the world now and offering this converting agency, we call it Course in Miracles International. We're broadcasting from this satellite the good news, the gospel, the idea that he is risen, has returned as he said he would, remember? He said, I'll be gone for a minute and then I'll be back. There he is, right next to you. Thank you for the privilege and your tolerance for my uncompromising determination of the necessity of the miracle of being born again. And you indeed can heal the sick and raise the dead. Again, I'll come back and do just one more hour because there's a great phrase in the Course that says, through self-recognition, through forgiveness, through loving our neighbor, we can shorten time immeasurably. God goes with us wherever we go because God is the mind with which we think. Shall we say it together? God bless us, each and every one. It's good to see you again. There's light all around you. May I share this with you as a teacher of God? In the short time that I have left here as a healer and as an advocate of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which I'm performing within this hour's sequence, there's a great joy in the idea that we have appeared here now following our own resurrections to offer to the dead ones, to the ones who still believe in an objective Jehovah is going to punish them for all their sins, that the entire teaching of the resurrecting mind of Jesus are to find you innocent and allow you, since you believe you can judge, to do what? To judge your brother as innocent. So that the commandments offered you by my Savior Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount were the necessity to forgive your enemy is literally the manner in which you escape the condemnation that you believe is inflicted on you, very simply because your enemy is you. Now, and the other teaching that is a particular in the necessity for your conversion is very simply the idea that your enemy somehow is real outside of your own mind, rather than the simple admission he's a formulation of how you believe you are, and that you have found yourself guilty of being powerless, that you have found yourself suffering within this body association, that you have found yourself in time where the solution did not seem to be available to you. And as difficult as this may be for you, this 2,000-year-old scripture is as contemporary at this moment as it will be 1,000 years from now and was 1,000 years ago. It's a very simple teaching that I am here within your time frame to tell you that your time is up, that you've run out of time. Now, in your idea of running out of time was the idea of coming in here, being here, and dying or eliminating yourself. In my idea of time, coming from out of time, is my certainty that in you, in your message of the idea of time, in the journey that we are taking together, is our certainty of the truth and love we share in all of eternity, before time begins and after it's over. This is the mechanism of the healing that I am performing with you at this time. This is a promise that I made to you in gratitude for what you taught me. This world was over a long time ago. Indeed, it was over the moment that was recognized through the resurrection of any mind. But I want you to see with me that that time and place is going on now. And in this mind training of the Course in Miracles, you can see that Jesus' presence with you here represent a continuing converting agency of light form that shows you that you are not held in the bondage of time that justified your idea of death. And that message is and was available to you, and that you did accept it. From the teacher's manual, just two paragraphs as we end up this hour's segment, coming from the mind of my Savior Jesus Christ, entering now into your mind in the certainty that we are sharing this mind of light and love that heals us instantly from the idea that we could have been sick and lonely or dead. Listen. Forget not that once this journey is begun, the end is certain. Doubt along the way will come and go to come again. Yet is the ending sure. No one can fail to do what God appointed him to do. When you forget, remember that you walk with him and with his word upon your heart. Who could despair when hope like this is his? Illusions of despair may seem to come, but learn how not to be deceived by them. Behind each one there is reality and there is God. Why would you wait for this and trade it for illusions when his love is but an instant further on the road where all illusions end? The end is certain and guaranteed by God. Who stands before a lifeless image when a step away the Holy of the Holiest opens up an ancient door that leads beyond the world? You're a stranger here, but you belong to him who loves you as he loves himself. Ask but my help to roll the stone away, and it is done according to his will. We have begun the journey, and long ago the end was written in the stars and set into the heavens with a shining ray that held it safe within eternity and through all time as well, and holds it still, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable. Be not afraid. We only start again an ancient journey long ago begun that but seems new. We have begun again upon a road we traveled on before and lost our way a little while, and now we try again. Look. Our new beginning has the certainty the journey lacked till now. Look up and see his word among the stars, where he has set your name along with his. Look up and find your certain destiny. The world would hide, but God would have you see.